Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the text from the Holy Gospel, Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration of our Lord. And the theme this morning, Jesus alone. You may be seated. Jesus alone. This statement alone stands against the teachings of many that worship is something that they do for Jesus. That it's you who prove your faith or show how great your faith is to your neighbor so that they can copy you. You must have a mountaintop experience, some teach. Therefore, people will see that you are more holy, more reverent, more devout, a good Christian. No, my fellow Christians, what you have just heard will not save you. Your faith isn't about you. Your Christian life isn't about a mountaintop experience. Your faith, true faith, is Jesus alone. Therefore, this morning, Jesus takes three of his disciples and they go up to a high mountain. So this morning, as we look at this scene, we can actually break it down into three parts. The pre-transfiguration, the transfiguration itself, and then the post-transfiguration. So let's begin this morning with the pre-transfiguration. My dear friends, there are those who believe that this is not a real event. It was some type of a mystical happening that Peter imagined. It was a mountaintop experience for him. But did you notice in the epistle this morning, Peter tells us very clearly that this was not something he invented, but there were three eyewitnesses. And if you have three eyewitnesses, that means it's the truth. Not only that, but this event is recorded in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, and yes, in the epistle. Recorded five separate places in Scripture. Therefore, God is telling us five times over that this is the truth. That what happened on this mountain is something that we must learn from, something we must teach, something that we must also grasp. As you hear this morning, it's about Jesus. Now, many people will try to focus on the mountain. They speculate that the mountain is this mountain or that mountain. It's that mountain over there. It's that mountain to the south. The place isn't important. The place isn't the focus. After all, we know that we are fickle human beings. And if God would have identified the mountain, what would man do? They would turn it into a shrine, thus taking the focus off Jesus alone. Now you may be asking, and I'm sure you've noticed this, the transfiguration is always pre-Lent. It's always before Ash Wednesday. Why is that? Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Peter's great confession, for one. Secondly, they all record that Jesus' prediction of his impending suffering and death and resurrection would happen. Jesus himself confirmed it. In the preceding chapter of our text this morning, in Matthew chapter 16, Peter does make his bold confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then just seven verses later, Peter becomes an agent of the devil, attempting to prevent his Lord from going to his cross. Thus, it seems that Peter needs further instruction. So therefore, Jesus takes Peter, James and John up to the mountain. Now we come to the transfiguration. Suddenly, our Lord is changed. His face shines like the sun, and his clothes are whiter than light. The three disciples are witnesses to this. They see, even though they may not understand. And from the words of Peter, we see that he didn't understand. And later, Peter did write from his epistle that we did not follow cleverly invented stories. But we, the three Peter's talking about here, were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Jesus had proven that he was the Son of God. Jesus had proven that he was God's Son by his word and by his deeds, healing the sick, bringing sight to the blind. The lame could now walk, and he even raised the dead. Now, before their very eyes, it is shown that Jesus is divine, that he is the Son of God. Our Lord's whole body shone like the sun. He was in his divine majesty, in his heavenly dignity. John writes later, maybe we could say that John was the lucky one. He saw Jesus in his divine majesty not once, but twice. Remember the book of Revelation, chapter 1. John writes, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like flaming fire, flames of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came the sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in full strength." My friends, what does this mean to us? What does this mean to you? One day, on the great last day, you too will see Jesus. You will see him in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his heavenly dignity. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Suddenly, two men stood with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Moses standing there as a representative of the law. Elijah stands as the representative of the prophets, the Old Testament. Between them stands Jesus alone. Jesus, my friends, is the embodiment of the law and the prophets. Jesus alone is the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. Everything written in this book, everything written in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled perfectly. And ironically, all three men standing there together, all three were rejected by their own people. Yet only Jesus is ultimately killed. Only Jesus suffers death, killed by his own people. So together they stand, and as they stand there, Jesus is being prepared for death. Now Peter, we all know Peter, he's much like us. He's brash. He speaks without thinking. And what does Peter say? "Well, Lord, it's good for us to be here." And yes, it is good for you to be here this morning. But Peter finds this place, especially now after the fact that he's been rebuked by Jesus, that it's good to be on this mountain. It's a safe place. He wants it to continue. Therefore, we have the title of our sermon hymn this morning, 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Yet while Peter was still speaking, he's interrupted. He's interrupted by the one who has the power to interrupt permanently. The voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, some translations, instead of saying "listen to him," it is translated "hear him." We too, my dear friends, we too are directed to hear Jesus from this book, to hear him from a pulpit, to hear the Word of God, and not to listen to voices of men who teach differently, men who talk about other things than Jesus alone. And those men who talk about those other things are designed to take you away from Jesus alone. For they are words and they are doctrines of demons. When a preacher does not preach Jesus and him crucified, that man or that woman is preaching words of evil. They are preaching a social gospel or a gospel unto themselves that will condemn you. Now we come to the post-tribulation. When the disciples heard this voice and they knew whose voice it was, what did they do? I'm sure that you and I would do the very same thing. They fell face down on the ground, terrified. But what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to them. Jesus comes tenderly and he touches them. And he lovingly says, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus alone. The disciples heard the voice of God the Father Almighty, and they were terrified. We too hear the voice of God Almighty from his word, specifically from the law. And we know what the law does to us. The law shows us our sin. And in him showing our sin, it is right for us to fall to our face, terrified. But Jesus comes, and he dies for you. And Jesus continues to come. He comes this morning, dear friend. He comes this morning, and he touches you, and he serves you. Today, he gives you body. Today, he gives you blood. And he says, "Don't be afraid." Yes, Jesus comes to you. Notice the text tells us the disciples did not go to Jesus. Jesus came to them. And Jesus has come for you. He is here this morning to serve you. He came for a dear brother this past week. And in that we rejoice. Even in our tears of sadness, we still rejoice that Jesus continues to come. He does not forget, and he will not forget you. And he continues to say, "Don't be afraid." He says, "Don't be afraid," because when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus alone. Your life, your Christian life, your faith is Jesus alone. And not anything or anyone else. Only Jesus and his word gives you the steady new spirit, which strengthens you with a willing spirit. Dearly beloved, this is true faith. When Jesus comes and he gives and he gives and he forgives, he is constantly pouring himself out so that you may be where he is. Later, Paul writes to the Galatians these words, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul here talking of himself, but you know what? You can put your name here. You can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and you were at the font. You can say, I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. You can say that the life that I now live, even in the flesh, I by faith, given to me by my Father, in the Son of God, in Jesus alone, it is He who loves me and gave Himself for me. These words are for you. They are words of peace and comfort, words of faith. So, dearly beloved, as we close this morning, Jesus is here. Jesus alone, your Lord and Savior, is here to give to you freely, to freely give of Himself, not just a little bit of Himself, but His all, His whole body, and all His blood for you, to strengthen your faith unto life and salvation, but most of all, for the forgiveness of all, each and every one of your sins. Jesus comes this morning, and He reaches out and He says, my beloved child, fear not, for I am with you, and I have overcome the world. Don't be afraid. You are my dear child, whom I have died for. My dear child, whom I will return for. That is my promise, and my words are true. For I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to my Father except through me. That's His promise. Jesus keeps His promise. He will always keep His promise. And on that great last day, you and I together will see Jesus. Jesus alone. Amen. Amen. So it shall be. Amen. In the name of Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.